find in the book of Jude, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The book of Jude, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Jude 1 says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, and I'm glad it's common tonight, it's to the rich, it's to the poor, it's to the black, it's to the white, it's to the Hispanic, and it's to everybody in this whole world, that everybody would ever walk on the face of the earth. It's a common salvation. I'm glad it's for the unlearned and for the learned. I'm glad it's for the men of the highest degree, but also to the men of the lowest degree. I thank you, God, it was for me. It's a common salvation. I'm glad I was talking to a man the other day, and I told him, I said, I don't know. I thought about the Hendersons as they sang that old song. I said, I don't know much in this old world, but I know enough to get home. That common salvation will get you home tonight. It says this, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. He said this, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now I want to read in the verse number, skip down to verse number 20. It says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I need Your help tonight, Lord. I thank You for Your Word tonight, Lord. I thank You for what You're doing in our lives, Lord. I thank You for our church, Lord. I thank You for these dear people. I thank You for my pastor tonight, and I thank You for our assistant pastor and all the leaders You set over this place, Lord. I pray, Lord, for our teachers downstairs, Lord. You touch them. Lord, help us tonight in the Word of God. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As Brother Mike said tonight, we are living in times of peril. We've living in a time that this country has never seen before, where it's rocking and railing. I'm glad we elected a president. But I'm glad I'm not here talking about a president. I'm here tonight talking about a potentate, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. I'm glad He's on the throne. I'm glad nobody will vote Him in and nobody will vote Him out. I'm glad He's on the throne forever and ever. And He's got the keys of death and of hell. I'm here tonight to talk to you about the falling away. We live in a day where our land is falling away from the principles and the doctrines and the statutes and the commandments that this Bible once gave us. Our schools have taken down the Ten Commandments. Our courthouse has taken them off the walls. They're no longer found in the White House. And I'm sad to say this tonight, but most churches don't know anything about what the Bible even teaches anymore. They've turned to the world of entertainment. They've turned to things that please the ears of the people listening. And they no longer have the doctrines of what Christ is. Jude was teaching against that. I heard one man say it this way. We have the Acts of the Apostles found in the book of Acts, right? Showed all the miracles of Christ, showed what the apostles did, showed how they followed Christ and walked with Christ, and how God wrought many miracles and by their hands because they believed on God that He would do what He said He would do. But we find here in Jude, we find the acts of the apostates. We find what it's going to be like in the last times. We find what's going to go on in this old world. What's going to lead up to the coming of Christ. And I'm going to say here tonight that the coming of the Lord is not far away. Be ye ready for the coming of the Lord. Prepare yourselves. Jude said, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write on you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write on you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That word contend is like a great athlete who has once won a great battle or he's won a great title. And let me tell you what, he holds that title. And you know what he wants to do? He wants to hold on to it. I'm here tonight as a church house to tell us that we should earnestly contend for the faith. But I want to tell you this tonight. First of all, you'll see who he addressed this book to. Most of the times in the Bible, you'll find where in the epistles where they addressed a certain book or a certain chapter to a certain group of people. You'll find in Jude where he didn't address it to any certain church. He didn't address it to a certain people. But you know what he wrote it to? He wrote it to every Christian that would be called down through the ages. Look what he said in verse number 1. He said, the servant of Christ is said to them that are, what? Sanctified. Not only sanctified, he said preserved. And not only served, preserved, he said the called. He wrote it to every Christian that will walk hereafter. I'd like to say tonight, he was speaking to everybody that walked on. He was speaking to them as corporately, but he was not only speaking as corporately, he was speaking as individual. And I want to say tonight, would you and me, myself included, would we contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints? You see, somebody downstairs needs somebody to stand up and teach this Bible right. They need a mama and daddy that served God and walked with God and did things like God wanted them to do so that one day they too would do like mama and daddy and they would raise their kids in the house of God. You see, it's still right to serve God. We live in a day, and I want to say this, it's still right to serve God in a Baptist church. I heard this the other day say, why do you go down to the Baptist church? There ain't nothing wrong with belonging to a Baptist church these days. I'm tell you what, Jesus found the first guy baptizing down by the River Jordan. He said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he got that thing started. John the Baptist immersed Jesus and got him baptized down in the River Jordan. I'm glad tonight I belong to a Baptist church. But I'm not rejoicing that I'm just a member of a Baptist church. I'm rejoicing in Christ tonight because He's called me, He's preserved me, and He's sanctified me by His own grace. The addresses of the last days. He was writing to every Christian that would ever walk down the face of the earth, and He was telling you this, would you earnestly contend for the faith? As that athlete would try to contend for his title, you know what he would not want to do? He would not give it up without a fight. But I tell you this tonight, we live in a day and age where we'll just roll over and play dead at anything. And that's what the devil wants us to do. Jude said that we should earnestly contend for the faith. And I've entitled this, Falling Away, the ABCs of apostasy. The ABCs of apostasy. And I began to think about one time when we was young, we went down to this is for some of y'all know about Rue's Flea Market, don't you? Some of y'all do. Some of you don't. It doesn't look like. But anyway, I'll tell you what. We used to go out to the cattle barn there in Roanoke. And at the cattle barn on Saturday morning, they'd have tables set out with things that you could buy. Kind of like a little trade day before Roost all got kicked off. We'd go out to the cattle barn and we'd work and we did our chores at home and our mom and daddy would give us an allowance. And we may have got a dollar if we did good. And if we did real good, they'd give us $2 a week. And that down at that trade day and down on those tables, they'd have some knives laying down there. And we couldn't get no case knife with that $2 allowance. Our budget was a little low for that. Let me tell you what they had. They had a thing called a survival knife. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And in that survival knife, it was a knife that was about this big. Big old knife. And in that knife, on the top, it had a compass. And down inside of that had everything that you would need to survive in the woods. As we thought as young kids, that's we got that survival knife. We got it made. Honey, we got everything we'll ever need if we got this knife. And in that knife, it had matches. It had a piece of wire that we thought you could saw a tree down with. But let me tell you what, that thing we thought it would take us through life, that survival knife. Let me tell you what Jude was doing. He was doing the same thing. He was giving, and here in the book of Jude, he was giving us the ABCs of apostasy of the last days. He said that'd be a great falling away. Peter said it would be perilous times. Let me tell you what, we hadn't seen what's yet to come in this world today. And I want to go through this tonight. The ABCs of the last days of apostasy. You'll see the addresses, not only the addresses, you'll see the appeal of the last days. Look in verse number 3. It said this, "Beloved, when I gave you all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to exhort that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." The appeal of the last days. First of all, you'll see there'll be men that will appeal to the last days. God has ordained it and has set it up, and there will be men that'll creep in unawares. The Bible calls them wolves in sheep's clothing. Paul gave an exhortation to the elders in Acts number 20, where they come in from Miletus, and he said, "Call unto the elders down in Ephesus." He said, "I've got to teach y'all some things." And he said, "There's going to be men come in. They're dressed up as wolves. They're wolves in sheep's clothing, and they're sent there to destroy the church." There are men crept in unawares. You say, why do you say that? I'm glad we're in a good Baptist church, but let me tell you what, there's not many people to get preaching like we do here. I remember one man one time, he's talking about all these mega churches that he's seen, and they was coming in by the thousands. You better watch those churches that are coming in by the thousands. I heard a man explain it this way. One time, I remember this, was going down the road, we went by this thing that was on the side of the road, and we couldn't figure out what it was. And I said, "Man, that's a bear on the side of the road." And we turned around, come back, and we got looking at it. It was a dog. You know what that dog had done? He done got run over. And all that gas inside of him had made him swell. That's the way a lot of these churches are doing today. They're not growing, they're swelling. You see, it's all right if you grow nutritionally, but it's not all right if you grow by infection. A lot of churches today are growing. They're not growing by physical food. They're growing by infection that's swelling up on the inside. Jude said you better be careful with that stuff. You know why? Because they teach damnable doctrines. You see, if we leave from the doctrines of Christ, we have nothing. I remember, I'm glad there was a church we went into one time, and they had a pulpit on the left side and they had a pulpit on the right side. And you couldn't figure out what in the world they was using it for. And one of the men said, "You know why they put the pulpit in the middle of the church? It's in the center of attention. This thing right here, when they lay it up here on this pulpit, it ought to be our center of our attention." They said, "They ain't got no word going on that church to have that pulpit off to the side." And that's the way most churches are tonight. They turned over to the things of the world. They turned over to devised fables. They turned over to the entertainment. And they're trying to appeal to our kids and appeal to a younger generation that's downstairs because that's all they know. And in our schoolhouses, they teach them that it's more important to know about entertainment than it is about the things of God. And we should teach them at our home to our children and pass it down. I thought about what Brother Ken preached here Sunday morning when the church was at a standstill. And I remember one time the Lord gave me a message in Psalm 78. He said they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. They turned back. I don't ever want to limit what God can do for me. You say, can you actually limit God? You cannot technically limit what God can do, but you'll providentially limit what He'll do for you. You cannot technically limit what God can do, but you can providentially limit God what He will do for you in your life. I don't want to get to heaven and say, look what I'd have done for you if you'd have obeyed me, if you'd have just did. Let me tell you what, we live in the days where this entertainment crowd is appealing to our young folks. They've turned our music into appealing. They've got a beat and a thump, but it's got no content. It's got nothing that'll hold water. And it's appealing to our kids. And let me say this. We need to keep what this thing was founded on, what this thing was started on, and earnestly contend for the faith. Not only the men, the message. It meant to draw away those that are not strong in the faith. 2 Timothy verse number 4. Chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine." And here it is, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And we're in those days. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. A lot of people tonight, what we don't realize, have left this Word of God. And when we leave this Word of God, if I could say anything to anybody in here tonight, if you have this book, you've got it all. And if I could challenge you to read this book and handle this book every day of your life, I'll tell you what it'd do to help you. And I want you to know that when you're handling this book, you know what you're handling? You're handling the Christ Himself. Because that's all this book is about. It's about Christ. And each day you pick up your Bible and you begin to pray and you begin to read this thing. You know what you're doing? You're handling Christ Himself, and He's teaching you things out of this book. Why? So you'll endure sound doctrine. You'll know when somebody gets up. We can be riding down the road and somebody quote a verse and my son hear it. You know what he'll say? He says, that ain't the KJV. You know why he knows that? Because he's been taught that. He knows what's right and what's wrong. And I want to do it all the days of my life. If y'all see me straying from the wrong way, let me know, because I want to teach my kid the right way. I want somebody to earnestly contend for the faith for myself, not only for me, but for my children and my son, my wife, and for your children and your grandchildren and your fathers and your mothers. Why? Because we should earnestly contend for the faith, the message. Not only you see the appeal of the last days, you'll see the apathy of the last days. I began to think about the Laodicean church days. We all know about the Laodiceans. They had everything, didn't they? They learned how to pipe water into their city. They were neither cold nor hot. And God said, I'd rather just spew you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm. They said that because of this, they had need of nothing. Now, I'm going to caution us tonight. We better be careful when we have need of nothing. We'll turn into a Laodicean church age. And we're in the dispensation of grace. But let me tell you what, God's going to pull this thing to... He's closing the curtain down on this thing of grace. And the church is going to be called out of this thing. Be careful when you have need of nothing. You know what need of nothing will cause? It'll cause you not to pray. Need of nothing will cause you to not to read your Bible. Need of nothing will cause you not to come to church. Need of nothing will cause you not to call somebody when they're down and out. We better be careful with the need of nothing. The Laodiceans had need of nothing. They began to be one of these things we talk about of apostasy. I read after one guy, this is what he said. He said, lukewarmness is a state of being a little too cold to be hot and a little too hot to be cold. Let me tell you what, we better be careful with that state. We become lukewarm about our separation. We become lukewarm about sanctification. You say, what do you mean by that? We get indifferent about personal holiness. We get this. I remember reading in Mark chapter 7, verse number 6. It said, this people honored me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You say, what is separation? Separation is you coming out of the world. God said, be ye separate. Be ye separate. It's you coming out of the world. You say, what is sanctification then? That's God taking the world out of you. And I'm going to tell you this tonight, I got more world in me than I want to admit to tonight. I'll make a confession to that. I want God to sanctify me and bring this world out of me. You see, we pride ourselves sometimes on being separate from the world. We're not doing the things of the world, but will we let God take the world out of us? We become lukewarm about our separation and our sanctification. Not only that, we become lukewarm about our service. We no longer have time to serve God. Do you remember the days when you was willing to do anything God told you to do? Somebody could have thrown a brick at you in the church house and you wouldn't have been offended at it. It could have hit you in the head and you just said, I love God, I'm glad He saved me. Now if they throw that brick at you and hit you, you'd be ready to quit for it. You wouldn't ever darken the doors of this thing again because somebody hit you with it. Let me say this, we begin to be lukewarm about our service when God has called us to do things. And that Psalm 78, and chapter number 78, verse number 41, where they limited God, they turned back. You know what they did? Their service became a burden. It was something they thought they had to do. It's like a job. How many of you want to get up every morning at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and run down to your job? You'd rather lay in bed, wouldn't you? That alarm clock go off, you say, I'd rather just go on another hour and sleep. But you know what? A lot of times we get in this routine and our service becomes a burden. That's the danger of lukewarmness. You say, I don't want to do it because I had to. I want to do it because I want to. And I'll get here early and I'll do what it takes because I want to do service for my King. Talking about some dangers of lukewarmness, they had dangers about their service. Not only that, they had lukewarmness about the Scriptures. They didn't have any real hunger for the Scriptures anymore. I was reading in Amos the other day, chapter number 8, verse number 11. He said, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, I'll send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water. But here it is, but the hearing of the words of the Lord. And that famine has hit our country by the drove tonight. Lukewarmness about the Scriptures. Not only that, they had lukewarmness about their supplication. They didn't have earnest prayer anymore. James chapter 5, verse number 6 said this, Confess your faults one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm glad we still have old-timey prayer. I'm glad that we still have altar. I'm glad it's not, we don't have to be ashamed to come down to the altar. I've been in churches. I preached in churches that if somebody would have came to the altar, the whole building would have fell in. And they would have thought, man, he must be a low-down, sorry sinner for coming to the altar. But I'm here to tell you tonight, those who walk the tallest with God are the ones who are down on their knees. You want to walk tall with God, you know what you'll do. You'll get down on your knees and admit that you ain't got nothing in you and He's everything, taking it out of you. They was lukewarm about their supplication. Not only that, they was lukewarm about souls. Psalm chapter number 125, verse number 5 through 6 says this, They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. When's the last time we got down and prayed over some soul that didn't know their way to heaven? And they was counting on you to pray them in. Nobody else even knew about them. Nobody else had ever forgot about them. And they turned their back on them, but you was the only one that would cry over their soul about going to heaven. They was lukewarm about souls. There was a man that came to my house, knocked on my door. He was Jehovah's Witness, and I began to witness to him. And I began to pray over his soul, and I still pray over his soul today. And we say, why? Because I want to see people go to heaven. You see, when churches don't care about souls anymore, we're washed up. They was lukewarm about their souls. Not only that, you'll see the appeal of the last days, the apathy of the last days, the administrations of the last days. Look in our text verse back in Jude number 16. It said these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouths speaketh the great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Let me tell you what, there's people that will take advantage of you in the last days, and they'll do it for their benefit. Don't be shocked when somebody takes advantage of you to get benefit for themselves. Jude said, the ABCs, he said, the administration of the last days, they'll do whatever it takes to get advantage of you and to take benefit of it. But I remember what the Bible said. I think Jesus said this. He said, pray for them that despitefully use you. I'm glad tonight that when somebody's despitefully using us, I still got a God that'll stand beside me and say, you're still doing right, even when they're doing wrong. I'm going to put some B's with my A's right quick. Not only do you see the A's of the last days, I want you to see the B's of the last days. I want to say, first of all, there's going to be some battles in the last days. You see, there's going to be a battle for your faith. God's going to weed this thing out, and He's going to show those who have faith and those who don't have faith. And the battles of the last days, not only you'll see it, first of all, it'll be a battle of our faith. He said you should earnestly contend for the faith. Not only that, it'll be a battle of foes. You see, the devil's going to come up against each one of us. No doubt today somebody in here has battled the devil. And in your mind, he's told you, you've done everything wrong. You're not a good husband. You're not a good wife. You're not going to have good kids. Your kids are going to grow up. They're going to go to the world. And the devil will do everything he can to discourage every person in this building. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. He's here to destroy homes. He's here to destroy marriages. He's here to destroy a church. But I'm going to tell you what, he cannot destroy the church because the church is always going up because it was founded upon a rock. And that rock is Christ. And He's the chief cornerstone of the church tonight. And He always will be. Battle of the foes. Not only that, it's a battle of fire. In verse number 23, it said, "On some having compassion, making a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." You say, "Well, I don't know how to help anybody." Let me tell you what, you will help those and be able to reach those that you're able to get down in the ditch and pull them out. There's been people that's helped me countless amount of times. I thought they would never help me, and because of that, I'm indebted to them. And I'll help them with anything they need because they've helped me. You know what they did? They had compassion. They pulled me out of the ditch, so I'm going to try to help them and pull them out of the ditch if they ever get in it. They have compassion. They pulled me from the fire. The bewares of the last days. I want to say this to preachers and teachers in here tonight. We got to be careful what we teach and preach. You know why? Because God's holding us accountable, first of all. But not only that, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 said this. He said, "Take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine, and continue in them. For in doing so thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee." It is important what we preach and teach. It is important what we teach our kids. It's important what I stand behind here. I'm going to have to give an account of what I preached behind this pulpit and every verse that I've read. And I want to be it right with God, and I want to have the right doctrine. You say, does doctrine matter? I'm telling you, we live in an apostate day where there's a great falling away. They're falling away from the truth. They're falling away from Christ. They're falling away from the church. They're falling away from everything that has to do with the faith. You see, our doctrine gives us direction. And our direction gives us to a destination. And without doctrine, we'll never reach that destination. You see, people are looking for a way into heaven. There's only one way. And that way is by Christ Himself. And through the shed blood on Calvary's cross. The bewares of the last day. Not only is it to preachers and teachers, but it's to all Christians. James chapter number 1, verse number 20 said this. 27 said this. Pure religion and undefiled from God the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That goes to everybody in the building tonight. It goes to me, from my house to your house. To keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And I'm going to tell you what, that's a big feat right there. I told you, I must confess, getting the world out of me is a big thing. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Talking about the last days. The last days. The bewares. Not only that, I remember that quote by old William Booth that he said. And it comes in, it hits home. It said, "The chief danger that confronts the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell." And that's where we find ourselves tonight. Hell is not just an imaginary place. Hell is a real place. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And it's a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. It's a real place. If the rich man could get out of hell tonight, he'd come back. And I'll tell you what, he'd lead a revival in this country. Because people don't think hell's real anymore. It's not, they use it as a slang term, but I'm going to tell you what, there's a place called hell, and those who don't believe in Christ will go there one day. And it's a place of torment. It's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. The bewares of the last days, the battles of the last days, but I want to finish with this. I'm going to get down to the C's. The believers of the last days. What are we to do? Jude was writing this whole epistle to encourage the believers, those who are preserved, those who are called, those who are sanctified in Christ. He was writing it to us tonight, to those who are saved. So what are the believers supposed to do? I want to say, first of all, the call to believers. Look down in verse number 17. It said this, "But beloved," what? "Remember the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." I want to say it was a call to remembrance. It was a call to remember what they had learned. The apostles had gave great doctrine. The apostles had been there with Christ. The apostles had given great exhortation. The apostles had great encouragement. Why? Because they walked with Christ. They followed Christ. They knew Christ. John, he knew Christ intimately. Every time you seen John, he would be leaning on the bosom of Jesus. He could hear the heartbeat of God. He said, "Listen to His words." That's why I encourage you tonight to read your Bible. Because in those, God will put you in some trial or some test. And I tell you, the only thing you'll have in you is the Word of God. And those words will come up. There'll be times and trials and you don't know what you're going through, and God will give you a verse. One man told me this one time. He said, when you find your verse, get on it and write it. And there's been times that I've got through things in life and trials in life because I took a verse and I got on it and wrote it. The call to the believers. Remember the words of the apostle? Not only that, the charge to believers. I want to say there's work involved in this thing. Look what he said in verse number 20. He said, but ye, beloved, look what he said. It's going to be some work. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. That word build up means to build a house. Let me tell you what, building a house is hard work. Each block, each cement that's poured, each board that's laid, each hammer that's nailed is work. And this thing in being a Christian, if you're going to earnestly contend for the faith, guess what? It's going to be some work going on. There's going to be some work involved. Not only does he say it's going to be building up your faith, he said this, praying in the Holy Ghost. He didn't say a lay me down to sleep prayer. He said grab hold of the horns of the altar and get down and pray in the Holy Ghost. I remember one time when I was back in college, we had our college up underneath, Bible college, we had our college up underneath the church. And I remember one time the Holy Ghost swept in that place. And we began to pray. I was in there with a bunch of preacher boys, and we had older men of God, men that had been preaching for 50 years. And we began to pray. And let me tell you what, I'm talking about praying in the Holy Ghost. I seen God move in that little basement down there in that little church to where it would have erased a whole year, everything I ever learned in Bible college, God would have taught me in that one night if I could pray it in the Holy Ghost. Let me say, a meeting with God is worth it all. Tonight, I'm talking about earnestly praying, contending for the faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Not only that, did he say praying in the Holy Ghost? He said this, keep yourselves in the love of God. It's up to you how you're going to keep yourself. You see, it's up to you how you're going to walk with Jesus. What are you going to do with Jesus? He said, keep yourselves in the love of God. Not only that, he said, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You've got to be looking for Him. You see, the Lord's going to step out on the cloud one day, and He wants you to be ready, looking unto the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only the charge to believers, there's going to be some work involved, but I'm going to say there's going to be some compassion of the believer. He said in verse, and I kind of hit it on it earlier, he said, if some have compassion, making a difference, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And I began to read that, and I began to think about compassion. I began to think about the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter number 10. I began to think about what had happened in that story. There was a young man that came up to Jesus and said, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. And he said, love thy neighbor as thyself. And he said, who is my neighbor? And Jesus taught him the parable of the Good Samaritan. He said this, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, and they stripped him and stripped him of his raiment and left him half dead. And as he began to come by, there was a certain Levite that come by, and he passed by on the other side of the road. And then there was another priest that passed by, and guess what? He went on the other side of the road. But there was a Samaritan that came by. And when he saw him, you know what it said? The Bible said this. He said he poured oil. He had compassion on him. And then he said this. He said he poured oil and wine in his wounds. One being an antibiotic, the other one being an antiseptic. He poured oil and wine into his wounds. He had compassion on him. And he took him up and put him up in the local hotel down there in Jericho and had compassion on him. The compassion of the believer. I told you all this story before, but I'm going to tell it again because God won't let me not tell it. About a man named Sam that lived next door to me. Sam was a big old guy. And I remember I got a load of blocks. And I put them on my truck. They had a pallet jack out there at the hardware store. And they put all them blocks on my truck. I'm talking about it almost blowed the tires out of my truck. I can't believe my truck even hauled that much blocks. A whole pallet full of them old concrete blocks. And I backed it up to my garage, and I said, I got to get these blocks off. And old Sam, he saw me. I was going up there like this. I get one block, I come, and I set it down. He was up there cutting his grass, and he saw what I was doing. And old Sam took a beeline. I seen that old lawnmower pull up right beside my truck. And old Sam said, I'll help you. He's a big, I mean, he probably weighed 350 pounds. But let me tell you what he was. He was my neighbor. You know what he was doing? He was doing neighborly things. He was doing things to have compassion on some little old boy that's out there sweating, wiping the sweat off of him, just to help me out. And I'll tell you what, every block I laid, he was being my neighbor. And he was helping me lay those blocks. You know who you'll win? You'll win those you have compassion on. You'll win those, you'll be able to pull them out of the fire because you had compassion on them. We live in a world where people don't have compassion. We're too busy and we're too involved in the world to be able to have compassion on folks any longer. And not only that, the call to the believer, the charge to the believer, the compassion of the believer. I want to say this, lastly, the confidence of the believer. Look what he said in verse number 24. It says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. All the stuff I've done against Christ, all that stuff, all the sins I committed, you know what he's trying to do? I said, Lord, look at all my sins. He said, I'm presenting you faultless. Why? He's able to keep me from falling. How's he going to do that? I began to think about that, and I wrote this down. How am I going to keep from falling? And the Holy Ghost said this, it's hard to fall when you're down low. A lot of times we're up too high, and our altitude is always going to match your attitude. And when you're up high, your attitude is going to be up high. And when you're down low, your attitude is going to be down low. And the Holy Ghost smote me. He said, you need to keep yourself low. Why? It's hard to fall when you're down low. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 12, it said, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And I began to think about that. I said, the higher we go, the easier it is to fall, and the further you've got to fall. But if you'll get down low on your knees, you ain't got far to go from there. And God will keep you from falling. The Bible said in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 24 and verse number 16, he said, for a just man falleth 7 times, and he rises up again. You say, I'm in here tonight, and I fell. I hadn't done good. I hadn't run a good Christian race. Why don't you start tonight? Why don't you purpose in your heart that you're going to earnestly contend for the faith? You've got children downstairs. You've got grandchildren. You've got people all around you counting on you to earnestly contend for the faith. And you can start that tonight. You see, God's not interested if we fell down, because God's already, if you're saved in here tonight, He's already forgiven you of all your sins. You need to get up. And there's been times in my life where the devil's come to me and he said, you've done too much and you've gone too far. And Christ will come through there and he'll say, you need to get up. He said, I've forgiven you of all that. I'm glad we have a great advocate tonight with the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, why do you say that? Talking about the ABCs of the last days. I want to say I said all that to say this. The Lord is soon to appear. The Bible said, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he said this, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I'm here to tell you tonight, you're not serving God for naught. The book of Hebrews chapter number 6, it talks about he's not careful to forget your labor of love. You see, God's writing this thing down. He knows those who are earnestly contending for the faith. He knows those who are going to stand up for His Word. He knows those who are going to do it for the ones, the generation to come. You see, we owe it to our kids to do what's right. We owe it to the ones who ran the race before us. We also owe it to the ones that will run the race behind us, to leave them a place to go to church. The ABCs of the last days, I challenge you tonight to earnestly contend for the faith. Brother Mike.